This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, we continue our series of interviews about children's literature. This afternoon, we'll hear about multicultural literature for children. My guest is Violet Harris. She is professor of curriculum and instruction in the College of Education and associate dean for academic affairs at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. A listing of the books we'll talk about and others can be found at our website, will.uiuc.edu. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We have a stack of books here that you recommended.
Yes.
That come to us from the Urbana Free Library. There's so much variety here. Would you give us a sense of the depth and breadth of multicultural literature for children?
Yes, my pleasure. It's one of my passions. You'll find every single genre has representative samplings of books that we label multicultural, from picture books, which is a format rather than a genre, to poetry, to folktales, to nonfiction, biographies, histories, studies of significant topics, sci-fi, fantasy, contemporary realistic fiction, series fiction, the whole gamut of literature, including something that's relatively new, graphic novels, have representatives from the category of multicultural literature.
Would you pick a title from the stack, maybe, and describe it for our listeners and tell us why you recommended it and why it's going to be on our website?
Okay, I'll choose Jacqueline Woodson's Locomotion. Jacqueline Woodson is one of the most innovative writers writing for youth today. Locomotion is a prose novel, so to speak, and it follows one young man who's in foster care and what that means for him and what it means for his emotional well-being and also what it means in terms of finding stability in his life. And it's written in poetic form, not rap or hip-hop or anything of that sort, but it has the rhythms and the cadence that you would associate with some of the contemporary music that's available today. What's important about this book is that it was a National Book Award finalist, which brings up a major issue that some people have with the literature. Is it quality literature? Is it well written? Will it appeal to children? And my answer is yes. Again, not all of them are well written, but that's to say that no literature will always have exemplars of excellence. But increasingly, the quality is so exceptional, and some of the writers, such as Woodson, are in the vanguard for making significant changes in artistic directions in children's literature. So it's very appealing because it has a young male, and it captures his life and the internal feelings that he has.
Yeah, yeah. Do kids like this literature?
Yes, if it's made available to them and if they're aware of it. I engage with a lot of children in my life. I mentor some young women who are preteens and teenagers, and I also engage with young children who are in second, first grade, third grade, sixth grade, a gamut of grade levels. And I often don't even have to make a recommendation. They walk into my home or they come into my office and they see what's available and they are immediately drawn to a wide variety of these books, but sometimes especially these books. I took a set to a couple of young women whose aunt asked me to mentor them. And I gave them one of the Cheetah Girls, which of course stars Raven on the Disney Channel. And it was books 13 through 16, and the young woman was so excited. She's about 12 years old. She said, "Oh, I love Raven. It's my favorite. She's my favorite character. I love these books. So I said, "Well, those are books 13 through 16, but I have 1 through 12 as well, and I'll bring those to you." Another young woman, I took 3 bags of books into church that day. And another young woman, a freshman, just finished her freshman year in high school. I gave her some of the young adult novels that I had, and we started talking. And I was thrilled to find that she enjoyed Rita Garcia Williams's books and was particularly enthralled with, like, Sisters on the Home Front. There was a young child who's now back home in New Orleans for the summer who was so fascinated with the story of the guy who invented the Saratoga chips, which we know as potato chips. And he borrowed the picture book and he slept with it because he was so enthralled with the content and the story, and shared it with everyone that he met.
Content and story then are important. How do kids express They're not going to say that. They might say this is a great story, but they're not going to say I'm really fond of the content in this book. What kinds of things do they say about why this is meaningful or valuable to them?
It varies in terms of age level. With young children, what they'll do for you is repeat the story. They'll give you a summary, or they'll say, this is like when I was a little boy and my mommy told me this, or my daddy did this, or when I eat potato chips, this is the kind of potato chip that I like. So they'll begin to relate personal aspects of what it is about the book that appeals to them. As they become older and have more experiences with literature, then they can express it differently. But typically, the kinds of things that draw them to story are the writing, characters that are appealing, characters that are intelligent, characters that are engaged in some kind of action, characters who solve problems, characters who show their intelligence, who are good people as well. And they want humor. And for example, when they're younger, they want humor, they want animal stories, they want family stories. And as they get older, the differences in both gender and age begin to appear more readily among them.
Yeah.
But they can tell you what they want, and all you have to do is ask. Tell me, what do you do during your day? What kinds of hobbies do you have? What kinds of sports do you like? What are your favorite foods? What are your favorite movies? What are your favorite games, and so on? And that gives you an idea of something that would be possibly appealing to them if you were to select a book.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating that remembering back to when I was a kid, this is sort of a helpful thing to do, I think, for grown-ups. It's like, well, what were we like? What were we thinking about? What were we worrying about? And one of the things is, you know, like in a book that you brought here with us or that we have here on the table, So Far From Home, The Diary of Mary Driscoll, an Irish Mill Girl, I would have found this fascinating as a kid because my grandmother came from Ireland.
Yes.
She was an orphan.
Yes.
Now, I also would have found Out of Darkness, the story of Louis Braille, fascinating because
yes.
I have no idea what a blind person's world is like. Mm-hmm. And I also loved that we have here a child who is solving a problem.
Yes. And that's the key to selecting books for children. The books that will appear on your website are the books that I used in the course that I taught last semester on multicultural literature. And I choose those books that I think will appeal to children. And I try to be as inclusive as possible. The Scholastic series, the one that you noted first, So Far From Home, The Diary of Mary Driscoll, is a part of the Scholastic series, Dear America. And these are stories about girls in American history from the time during colonization, the Pilgrims, and prior to that, and also through post-Korean War era. But each girl's story is based in history, and each girl's story is written by typically a major author, male or female, and they run the gamut from stories about African-American girls, for example. I thought there's one about slavery and learning to read. I thought my wings would rise and fly. The title is mixed up, but it's a part of that. Another one, Color Me Brown, about the 1920s and the migration of blacks to the North from the South. There are two that are quite controversial about Native American girls, et cetera. And so then you have those about girls in the West, girls in the Southwest, girls in the Plain States, girls in New Orleans, Jewish girls, Italian girls. The whole gamut of the immigrant experience in the U.S. is found in those books. Similarly, the book Out of Darkness, I always include biographies and nonfiction, primarily because quite early children are showing a preference for information books or nonfiction. And there is that gender difference that exists there too as well. Boys in particular show an early preference for nonfiction. But children in general like to know things. I always include something with religion because my definition of multicultural is quite broad. And this book that you'll find on the website is I Believe in Water, which is a collection of short stories about religion, subtitled Brushes with Religion. And so sometimes it's Islam, sometimes it's Christianity, sometimes it's Judaism, sometimes it's Buddhism. But to give the students in my class an understanding that often religion is a part of people's lives. I also include something with GBLTQ because that's a part of life. And it's also one of the more controversial aspects of the definition of multicultural literature. A book such as Antonio's Card is unique in that it is a picture book. It features Latinas who are raising two mothers who are Latina, who are raising a son together, and his conflicted feelings about that and how that may be presented to his peers, because we know kids can be often intolerant. And another book such as Stanford Wong Flunks Big Time, which is very funny, but also dispels this idea that all Asian Americans are scientific or mathematical geniuses, but that they are interested in sports and that they do have a sense of humor, that they do engage in the everyday things that all preteens engage in.
Yeah. I found Joy Pigs a kind of fun.
It's wonderful.
Too.
And there's a new Joy Pigs book out.
Because we can all feel like we're outsiders at one point or another. Mm-hmm. And also, sometimes we can, you know, see somebody in the classroom with us and kind of think, what's up with you?
Yes. And there are increasingly a number of kids with disabilities of all types. So it's important. On the one hand, although wearing glasses isn't a disability, but the American Girls series did such a service for girls who wore glasses because, for one, a main character who was enjoyable wore glasses to something like Joey Pitska, who has attention deficit disorder. So it's important for children to understand that children who have different ethnicities or different religions or who have disabilities or who may have a different sort of sexual orientation or who may be in the South or who may be in the West in some ways are like you because they're human beings. But because of other factors, they differ from you in some ways.
Yeah. We've got to wrap it up here. I'll just mention one more title that's on the list, and that's Hidden Roots. And this was interesting because here kids can sit down with a book and try and, you know, maybe puzzle through the pain that adults might be in.
Yes.
And how it affects the family.
Yes. That's Joseph Brujac, and he's a wonderful, wonderful author. And he goes beyond the depiction of Native Americans as being on the plains or in the Navajo and so on to show Native Americans as contemporary individuals. And so Hidden Roots is historical fiction that talks about a period in our history when there was forced sterilization and what the impact of that has been on the adults who found themselves in that situation. Mm. So it's a wonderful bit of historical fiction for children.
There, we've got to wrap it up. You've got to come back.
I will.
Okay.
It'll
Violet
be my pleasure.
Harris, Professor of Curriculum and Instruction in the College of Education and Associate Dean for Academic Affairs at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The books that we've talked about this afternoon and others can be found at our website, will.uiuc.edu.